I am excited and I'm humbled just by the opportunity to preach just the first night of the missions conference. And I do have to say, especially humbled, when you're the missions director and you find out in front of everybody that you're saying one of the names of the countries wrong. All right. I did not know about a broken typewriter, okay? I knew phonics, and that's what I was going by, okay? So I got it now, but I'm so excited, really, about what God has, truly has for us, and truly what God is doing. And I'm excited about the opportunity to get in on what God is doing. Amen. And listen, there is an opportunity. Yep. How does the saying go? When opportunity knocks, what do? You go sit on the couch and you watch the news. No, you open the door. There is opportunity. There is a movement of God that is going forward. And church, we need to get in on it. Listen, God has given us a charge. God has given us a great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when you look at Scripture, one of the things you know is that when God repeats himself, when Christ repeats himself, that shows importance. You know, God, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. We see it in Mark chapter 16, 15. We also see it in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." We see it again in Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47. "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And we see it in his last words before he ascended up into heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Church, I think Christ was trying to tell his disciples something. Yeah. I think that Christ is trying to tell us something right now. There's an opportunity. God is at work. We have a divine opportunity to get in on. And I want to look at this divine opportunity. The first thing we see, we have a divine opportunity to go. Listen, we have three people here who have given themselves the full-time Christian service, who have been serving. We have someone going to Carabas, all right, I got it, to India, I know I got that one right, and then someone who's given his life and is serving in Fellowship Track Lead, and his grandson who surrendered his life even, and many other people here who have given their lives and served many, many, many years. But you know, it's not just my responsibility and pastor's responsibility and Brother Wyrick's and Brother Dan's and Pastor Belcher's and Pastor Mott. It's not just our responsibility to go. It's your responsibility to go. It is your opportunity to go. God wants to use you. God can use you. And he will. But you know, if we look at this charge and this command, this opportunity from man's perspective, can we be a little honest? If looking at this command to go from a man's perspective, it's a daunting task. It's a daunting task. You know, as of right now, there's estimated to be around 7.8 billion people in the world. They are spread out among 195 different countries. On average, there's 4.2 people born every single second. That's a lot of people. You know, if we kind of look at it, you know, with doing a little math, if our church was going to set out on a mission to speak to every single person on the face of the this earth, it would take our church, with the size over 200 people, only 11,284 years to do it. It's a daunting task. It's a daunting task. But can I say something? It's not our task. It's God's task. It's God's task, and it's done in God's power. See, the earth may have a circumference of 24,901 miles. I'm throwing all kind of facts tonight, okay? But our God's much bigger. Our God is much, much bigger. Listen, this is God's task. This is God's mission. He sent His Son to the earth for this. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is the reason why Christ died on the cross and, amen, rose again 3 days later. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen, this is God's task. This is God's mission. But we have an opportunity because He wants to use us to do it. We have an opportunity to get in on what God is doing. God wants to use us. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We have an opportunity to get in on what God is doing. I'll never forget coming here. I was even just talking to Brother Layfish before this. I'll never forget coming here the first time in February of 2018 and sitting with my then fiance. It's hard to imagine now that we had, you know, one kid and second on the way, and just, you know, a couple years ago we were, you know, just engaged. But I was sitting in the pew with my fiance at the time and just looking and watching and just taking in the service, singing with everyone, listening to the preaching. And I'll never forget after the Sunday evening service, getting in the car to drive back to Erie. And my wife and I, my fiance and I at the time, but my fiance and I at the time, my wife and I can say my wife and I, we're, you know. But we both looked at each other and said, "God is working here. And we want it in." And let me tell you something. God is working in the Great Commission. God is in the mission of seeing souls saved. And He's saying, "Will you go? Will you go?" Listen, you might not think that you're any good at it. You might not think that God can use you, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're not powerful, because it's not done in your power. You see, Jesus said Himself that He, not us, He would build His church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," Jesus speaking of Himself, "I will build My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It's Jesus who's building His church. We are just the willing vessels. We need to be the willing vessels who say, "I'll go. I'll go. Wherever You would have me to go, I'll go." God says, and Jesus says, that He'll give us His power. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, let's look at the beginning of that verse again. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20 again. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto..." Wait, who? Jesus. says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And let's look at this awesome part of this verse. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of Clyde, Ohio. Is that what it says? No. Even unto the end of the world. God will be with you. God will be with us. We have a divine opportunity. Listen, as a church, we are called to be a witness of Christ to our Jerusalem. We are called to be a witness of Christ to our Judea, to our Samaria. And we are called to be a witness to the uttermost part of the earth. We are commanded to make disciples of all nations. Listen, we are commanded to go. As a church, we are commanded to go. But individually, we are also commanded to go. Listen, some people, God's going to call to the uttermost part of the earth. I'm so glad that God's called Brother Joel to Carabas and Brother Philip Neenan to India and so many of our other missionaries to so many different countries. Listen, God might call you there. Would you be willing if God did? Would you be willing to get in on the opportunity? God might call some people, listen, just to Clyde. God might call some people here to reach our Jerusalem. And that is the task that God gives you. God might call some people to reach around here and reach our Judea. God might call some people to reach our Samaria. Listen, Michigan needs the gospel too. I'll be honest. It's kind of funny. I haven't said this yet, but most of you, I'm from Pennsylvania. And this makes me laugh so much. Because when I was in Pennsylvania, you know what we would say? And God calls some people to Samaria. Listen, Ohio needs the gospel too. That's why I came. Oh, I think I might be fired now. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, listen. We've been called to go into all the world. We've been called to go everywhere. And God's going to go with us. Humanly, it's impossible. But it is divinely 100% possible. Because it's not our power that it's done in. It is Christ's power. We not only have a divine opportunity to go, listen, we have a divine opportunity to give. We have an opportunity to give to what God is doing. Listen, let me just say this. There is no better thing that we could use the increase that God has given to us. There's no better way we could use it than to give towards what God is doing. Can we be honest, though, here as well? Giving, and even sometimes giving sacrificially to where it hurts. Let me just say this. I don't know how God's going to lead you to give. And listen, I'm not going to ask. Pastor's not going to ask. Dan's not going to ask. Dave, we are not going to ask. As Pastor said, we're not going to send bills. But God might call some people to give sacrificially. God might call you to give sacrificially. Can we be honest? Giving sacrificially isn't natural. It is not a natural thing. You know, it's kind of cute. My son right now, he'll have toys, and he's on that stage now where, you know, giving things to his parents, you know, is fun. You know, where he picks up a toy and he comes and gives it to me. Then he goes back and gets another one and he comes and he gives it to me. And he goes and gives it. And by the time he's done, I have like 17 toys in my lap. It's either that or he's trying to throw it down the stairs. You know, one of the two. But in reality, being someone who's generous, being someone who's giving and giving and giving and giving is not something that's natural. Listen, can I brag on our church for a second? I have seen so many times where you, Harvest Baptist Temple, have given sacrificially. There are people I've watched, and I've just known just from talking to them that they were struggling, that they were really having a hard time. They really didn't have money themselves. But I watch them as they drop a bag of food off and a gift card off for someone else because they know that someone else really needs it, even though they didn't really have it. And just seeing some of the gifts to missions that come in from this church, I'm so happy to be a part of a church that gives to missions. But listen, wherever we are at in our giving, let's not be satisfied. Let's go further. Let's step out in faith. Let's keep stepping out in faith. It's an unnatural task. But God can use you. God can change you to where even though it's not natural to be willing to give sacrificially and to do it cheerfully, right? It's not naturally something that's done. But listen, the ability and the opportunity to give to missions, it is a divine opportunity. Giving to and supporting missions as the missionaries as they go to preach the gospel throughout the world, it's not something that man thought up. We see the blueprints for this in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 8 says, I, Paul, robbed other churches. Well, that's not good. Now, what he's not saying is he went into their offering box and took out money and left. Okay, that's not what he's saying. Let's continue reading. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. Listen, Paul was able to go to the church, to Corinth. He was able to plant a church. He was able to help them. He was able to build them up in the faith because God led the other churches to supply the needs that Paul, the missionary, had. This is a divine opportunity. Listen, it is very easy to talk about loving missions. It's very easy to talk about loving missionaries. It's very easy to talk about we really need to preach the gospel to every creature. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And just so you're aware, the exact topic that John is covering right here is giving to others. Verse 17 says, well, whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Listen, we can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk about missions. But unless we are willing to step out in faith and give and go and give, we really aren't being loving, are we? We have a divine opportunity to give to what God is doing. There's no better way to be a good steward of what we have. There's no better way of being a good steward of what God has given to us than to give it back to God and let Him use it. Let Him multiply it. Let Him spread the gift and use the gift to see many people come to know Him. Listen, God gives us an increase, not that we can continually increase our standard of living. God gives us an increase so that we can bless others with what God has given to us. Now, it's obviously not wrong to have things. Let it not be what we're living for. Listen, it's a divine opportunity. It is also a rewarding opportunity. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says, For even in Thessalonica, yet sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Listen, when you are faithful, when you listen to God and allow Him to direct you in what to give, and when you're obedient, we can't see it now. We can't see the fruit that comes from what we give. But there will be one day when we are in glory and God shows us, look, you might not have seen the impact you had from little Clyde, Ohio. But because you are faithful in giving, look at all the people who came to know me. Look at all the people who came to know Christ. There is reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But here's the best part. But he that soweth, which soweth bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God promises to bless obedience. God promises to bless his work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Listen, we have a divine opportunity to get into what God is doing by going and giving. And we have the opportunity to give so that other people might hear the word of God preached and that other people might know Jesus Christ and might have eternal life. This is something that we can get behind. Amen.
Amen.
Lastly, we have a divine opportunity to go. We have a divine opportunity to give. But we also have a divine opportunity to pray. We have an opportunity to pray. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 says, Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse number 38, Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Listen, we have the opportunity to go to the Lord in prayer. This is a direct opportunity. We can go directly to the Lord in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can enter in. We have the ability as Christians, as people who've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive our sins, we have the ability to go directly into God's throne room and ask our petitions right to Him. You think about this. You think about this opportunity that we have. You think about the Old Testament where the people had to let the priest, the high priest, go into the Holy of Holies for them. It was only the high priest that could enter into God's presence. But we as believers, let me just say this. We can enter into God's throne. We also have God dwelling inside us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have direct access to the Father. And we have permission to go in any time He wants. And He encourages us to go. You think of Esther. You think of that story and just the fear that there was about going into the throne room of the king. Why? Because she might be killed. Listen, God encourages us. Come in with boldness. Ask your petitions. He wants to give us mercy. He wants to give us grace. He wants to bless us. Listen, He wants to answer our prayers. He not only wants to answer them, he wants to answer them exceedingly, abundantly above. This is a great opportunity that we have to go to God in prayer. Listen, it is an essential opportunity. Prayer is essential. Listen, not everyone here is going to go all around the world. Okay? There might be some here who you're really not able to give. Listen, I remember growing up, I didn't have much money. We were pretty poor. Okay? Until I got a job myself, I didn't get an allowance. Okay? Anytime we'd have a teen activity and there'd be a fee for it, we would be scrounging and looking and trying to dig up anything we could get just so I could have the money to go. Listen, I'm not trying to make you feel bad for us. Praise the Lord that I know how to live without. Amen. But we didn't have much. Listen, I really didn't have the opportunity to give at that point. Some of you who are younger, some of you, maybe you're a child, you don't really have the opportunity to give. Listen, if you can give, I think you can. Even if you say 25 cents. 25 cents a week, 25 cents a month. Just get in the habit of giving. But every single one of us. Listen, we might not ever go to India, but we can pray for Brother Neenan as he goes. We can pray for Brother Deku as he goes. We can pray for Fellowship Track League as they send tracks all around the world. And God hears and he answers prayer. Listen, prayer works. Prayer works. I'll never forget, before my senior year of college, I traveled neighborhood Bible time. And I was praying that God would supply what I needed for college. And I got I sent out prayer letters. I sent out support letters. And I got, listen to this, I got a whopping $144. That goes really well against a $5,000 school bill, amen? So I'm in California, and I get this letter. And listen, my spirits were low. I'll be honest, my spirits were low. I was kind of, what is happening here? God, I've been obedient. I've gone around the country preaching your gospel. I've seen so many children and so many teenagers saved. But is it just your will for me not to go back? And I remember just kneeling there where I was and praying, God, I got to know, is it your will for me to go back? Can you show me? Can you just show me if it's your will? Within 1 hour, I get a call from the Dean of Students. Mr. Kaufman, would you want to be an RA this year? I'm like, yes. Automatically $1,000 a semester off my school bill. Prayer works. God answers prayer. When Hudson Taylor was sailing to China to begin his missionary work, his ship was in great danger. The wind had died and the current was carrying them toward sunken reefs, which were close to an island inhabited by cannibals. So close, they could see them building fires on the shore. Everything they tried was to no avail. In his journal, Taylor recorded what happened next. The captain said to me, well, we've done everything that can be done. And a thought occurred to me, and I replied, no, there is one thing we have not done yet. What is that? He queried. Four of us on board are Christians. Let us each retire to his own cabin and in agreed prayer ask the Lord to give us immediately a breeze. Taylor prayed briefly and then, certain that the answer was coming, went up on the deck and asked the first officer to let down the sails. What would be the good of that? He answered roughly. I told him we had been asking a wind from God and that it was coming immediately. And within minutes, the wind began to blow, and it carried them safely past the reefs. Taylor wrote, "Thus God encouraged me, ere landing on China's shores, to bring every variety of need to him in prayer, and to expect that he would honor his name, honor the name of the Lord Jesus, and give me help in each emergency required." Listen, knowing that our prayers touch the heart of our loving Father in heaven, and that he can meet any need that we have, shouldn't we also confidently and continuously bring our desired petitions to him? "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." Listen, we have a great opportunity. We have a great opportunity. God is at work. Listen, God is moving forward. Will you? Will you move forward with him? Will opportunity's knocking? Will you answer the door? There are three ways that you can. You can go. Be willing to go wherever God has you. You can give. Be willing to give whatever God would have you to give. And we can pray. We can enter into God's throne room. Will you surrender tonight? Will you give yourself a living sacrifice? I told my students today that what it meant by giving yourself a living sacrifice is taking a blank piece of paper, signing your name to the bottom and saying, "Here, God, here's the contract. I've already signed it. You fill it in." Will you surrender? There is a great opportunity.